Hello.
Hi there, how's it
Good. Thank you for taking time for us.
Are you kidding? It is such a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on here.
Is your life just like a successive series of Zoom windows at this point?
Kind of at this point, I don't know if you can see, I
That is
clearly
author
cannot see
Katie
what's on the
Yee.
other
She's popped up in a Zoom window to talk to me about her debut novel. She's at home, a bookshelf behind her with some copies of her book and many, many others, some art, and just out of frame, Oliver, whom she describes in her official bio as a judgmental rescue dog. Ollie, for short, by the way.
I apologize in advance if you can hear my dog barking. I've left like a note on the mailbox downstairs for UPS being like, please don't ring the bell. Like, I'll be right down later. Or if
Ollie
you
keeps
can,
quiet while we talk
please
about
let me
writing,
know.
about the short stories that she's better known for, and Maggie, or A Man and a Woman Walk Into a Bar, the title of her book, due out July 22nd from Simon & Schuster. This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Katie Yee is coming to Traverse City to talk about her book at the National Writers Series in late July. The book begins with a 1-2 punch. The main character finds out her husband is having an affair and is then diagnosed with breast cancer.
I mean, it's been my experience that in life, when it rains, it pours. It's the kind of thing where I feel like if you were to describe this to someone in real life, they'd be like, that would never happen that way. But I think in real life, it really is sort of like an onslaught of the good and the bad.
Fiction authors probably get this question a lot, but is your story taken from real life in any way?
I think people usually expect debut novelists to write a little bit of autofiction, and I mean, absolutely. I love so many fantastic books that have come out recently that are based on the facts of an author's life. But for me, breast cancer, divorce, motherhood, these were not things that I personally have experienced firsthand. But I've seen so many loved ones go through all of these things, and I wanted to kind of honor their stories with this one.
You have done a lot of short story work, and this book, I understand, started that way. Is that right?
Yes, she started as a short story that kind of just got a little bit too big. She kept rolling away from me.
I've heard authors say that they get to know their characters, they get to miss their characters when they stop writing them. They want to spend more time with them. Did you feel that way with this process versus, say, a short story?
I definitely did. I mean, I was working on this book on and off for the past like 5 years. Definitely when she started, it had way more to do with the divorce and with the cancer. The kids were actually like a real surprise to me when I was writing it. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed kind of embodying the experience of motherhood on the page. When I was taking this novel pretty seriously, two pretty major things were happening. The first being that I entered my late 20s and moved in with my boyfriend, who, by the way, is from the Midwest. He's got family in Michigan. Everyone's very excited that we're coming to Traverse City. We moved in together, and I started to get all these questions about when we were going to get married, if we were going to have children. And then the second thing that happened was the pandemic. And with that came all this violence that was happening against Asian Americans. And I kind of the conflation of these two things made me really think about what it would be like to bring children into the world who even half looked like me, who I couldn't protect from these larger wounds of like racism or diagnosis or heartbreak.
Wow. Did writing the book then teach you any lessons as you look forward to your future?
I'm not sure. I'm still not sure. I think the way that I process a lot of life is through writing, is on the page. So I think this is a question that I might keep returning to. But I had a lot of fun writing the kids, right? Like I think when you're young, before any of your friends have had kids, you're maybe thinking about motherhood in terms of like, can you afford childcare? Or like, does childbirth hurt? Things like that. And I think this book was really an opportunity for me to sit with like the day-to-day of it, right? To be like, what would it be like to be checking their homework at the end of the day and watching the way that they cross their T's and dot their I's? Like, how does that change?
Do you remember when you first realized you liked writing? Maybe not when you decided I'm going to be a writer with a capital W, but like when was the moment in your life where you were like, "Hey, I like this and I'm kind of good at it."
I have never wanted to do anything else. So I
Really?
feel incredibly, I mean, I was going through, I went to my dad's house recently and I found this old diary from like elementary school. And I had like a list of like career options for myself. Number one was writer. I think number two was pop star. I'm a horrible singer, so that was like a non-starter. I think three was like gardener, which I mean, I do love flowers, but I think I had the priorities right from a young age. But you know, I credit so much of my love of stories to my mother. We had this fantastic ritual when I was in preschool, where on Mondays she would take me to this diner that is no longer around, the Seaport Diner. It was like a 5-minute walk from our house, and we would sit there after preschool, and I would have a plate of French fries and a vanilla milkshake. And my mother was a classics major in college, so she loves mythology. She loves Greek myths in particular, and she would just sit there and tell me stories while I was, you know, eating my French fries. And then she would kind of turn it around, right? And she'd be like, "Hey, you tell me a story now." And that is completely where my love of writing came from.
We tell stories in journalism. You're telling a story as a novelist. We're in a society right now that feels like it's moving very fast and there's all this stuff happening. Do we spend enough time with story, doing the things that you just described at the diner, sitting and telling each other stories, whether that's through a book or a radio broadcast or over a milkshake?
I'm an optimist, so I'm gonna say yes. I mean, I think, of course, like in the age of social media, there's so much about the clickbaity, you know, headline, about the quick, you know, one-liner, that hook. But I think with it, I do see a deep love of like sharing bits of your day, sharing funny tidbits on TikTok. I do think, and especially because I think we've been gravitating so much towards kind of away from text again, right? Back into podcasts, back into radio, you know, TikTok or Instagram Reels being like a visual, like video first medium. I kind of think we're coming back to an age of great orators, and I'm really excited about that.
Everybody's different. Everybody experiences books in different ways. But you, the author, how would you recommend people read this book? Is this a curl up on the couch book? Is this a go to a coffee shop book, park bench, vacation read, or like right before bed read? I mean, like, what's your ideal setting for somebody to experience your work?
I love this question. I think this is a buy a copy at a bookstore with your best friend and maybe both sit down with a big spicy margarita.
That's a fantastic answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Katie Yee's debut novel is called Maggie, or A Man and a Woman Walk Into a Bar. She'll be at the National Writers Series in Traverse City on July 25th to talk about it with IPR's Ellie Katz. We had a good chat, and before we said goodbye on the call.
Ed, let me ask you a
Yeah,
question.
she turned the tables a little.
Where should I go in Traverse City?
Oh
I
my
mean, so many
gosh.
friends have been like, you're gonna love Traverse City. So I'm taking recommendations.
Well, it depends. What, so, listener, I choked. We talked about the Sleeping Bear Dunes, and we talked about some restaurants. And then I settled on what I actually feel is like one solid recommendation. Get Whitefish while you're up here, because Great Lakes Whitefish is just. Where did I just have? Was it? Oh, shoot. I just had like the best whitefish, and I can't remember where it was now. Like I said, choked. But Whitefish is good, and I'm sure she'll talk to other people who can be way, way more helpful. That's the lowdown this week. Thanks for listening. More stories soon.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.